I am the architect. I created the Matrix.
Shall we play a game?
Good evening, good evening. This is Bob Sherwood with webtalkwithbob@gmail.com. And as I said yesterday, the gloves are off. I just can't be any more annoyed with what the left is saying. Of course Trump canceled the North Korea summit. Why should he fly to Singapore to get nothing done when he could go play golf in Florida? It's not uncommon, despite what Nancy Pelosi says. He wasn't prepared. They need thought through this whole thing. These people that say these things are just plain idiots. They've never done anything in their own life. I watched some young girl, it could have been a young man, I'm just saying it's not gender specific. They were asked the question, do you think Trump was prepared? And they pontificated for 15 minutes. No, he didn't have a timeline. No, there wasn't enough conversations. No, you know, the person answering the question has no idea of how many conversations went into this. But that doesn't keep them from answering. That doesn't keep them from criticizing Trump. Well, if he'd had a better timeline, if he had better people working on it, if he did it the Democratic way, whichever way that is, it wouldn't have had this problem. It would have gone through normally. Oh, wait a minute. The whole idea of having a meeting at all and getting this far is completely new in our relationship with North Korea. I love Trump for taking the hard line. I've been in business meetings, and before you go to the meeting, you call the person and you say, look, are we going to get this done at this meeting? If the person hems and haws, I say, fine, cancel the meeting. That's what Trump did. You guys don't answer the phone, we're not coming over. I sent a group over. We were ready. You didn't send your group over. So I canceled the meeting. See, a normal president like Obama wouldn't have done that. Because a normal president, a political president like Obama, would have worried about the public reaction. Trump doesn't care about that. He wants to make America safe. And if they're not going to come to the table, that is North Korea, with the right attitude, then screw them. We won't have a meeting. I mean, after all, we're the powerhouse. If they start launching nuclear weapons, then North Korea will be no more. So they're not going to do that. Trump knows that. He knows he's the powerhouse. He doesn't need to ram it down their throat, although he does occasionally. The point is, hey, Mr. whatever his name is, North Korean, his honor, or his excellency, I think that's what Trump calls him in the letter. If you're not going to come to the meeting with a positive attitude to get something done, then I'm not coming. After all, I've got to fly, I don't know, 8,000 miles. You got to fly, you know, 45 minutes. It probably costs us $10 million to send two 747s over there. Trump's not stupid. You say, I'm happy to talk. But if we're not going to get something done at the meeting, what's the point of meeting? It's not a photo op. Remember, for most presidents, things like this are photo ops. They're press releases. Not for Trump. He doesn't care about that stuff. Oh, people think he does, but he doesn't. He does what a normal business person would do. If we're not going to get something done at the meeting, I'm canceling the meeting. I don't care if I didn't tell South Korea. I don't care if I didn't tell France or England. So what? It's not their problem. It's us. And if I didn't brief the press properly, so what? I canceled the meeting. You see, the real problem, and I have some things in front of me that people have sent me, the real problem is that Republicans have been, they've just been easy. They've been pushovers for the Democrats. The Republicans have let the Democrats simply intellectually grind them down from a granite to dust. If you listen to Tucker Carlson, he always tries to get the Democrat to answer a question. They don't. He'll say, can you just answer this one question? Why do the Democrats support MS-13? And the Democrat would go on for 25 minutes, never answering the question. Tucker says, look, I'm just asking a simple question. They can't do it. They can't answer that question. They can't answer any questions posed to them. It goes on, it doesn't stop. See, we're right-thinking people. We've tried to fight the left with dignity. I mean, George Bush, he was a guy that had some dignity. But he was subjected to outrageous lies. We tried statesmanship. I mean, John McCain, okay, he hates Trump, I get that. But he still thinks, in my opinion, the Senate, is a college atmosphere. He's a collegiate guy. Remember when he was dressing for the presidential campaign? He was wearing sport coats and slacks. He never had a chance at all of ever being elected. He didn't look good. He didn't talk professional, but he thought, hey, I'm a senator, I'm from Arizona, I'm from a super wealthy family, I'm a hero, people will just get in line and vote for me. But they didn't. And look what he does now. In his last days, or what could be his last days, he spends his time trying to discredit Trump. What is the point of that? What is the point of trying to do that? And Romney, he was a nice guy. If you ever watched him on TV, he's probably one of the nicest human beings ever. But did he ever attack the left? No. I remember some of the debates when Obama said things that were totally wrong. Romney never corrected him ever. Because Romney was a nice guy. He doesn't like confrontation. So no matter what the Republicans have tried over the years, we're fighting with bare knuckles, and the leftists are fighting with knives. They'd fight with guns, but they're against guns. But they're not against knives, and that's what they use. They slash, they shred, they cut. You know, they scar. They don't ever go for the kill necessarily, but they just slash you to death over time. They get you doing things and wasting time responding to people like the San Francisco lady or the Los Angeles lady. You know who I'm talking about. Maxine Waters down south. They're slashers. They're cutters. But they're also liars. And they certainly don't have any platform. What do they stand for? Oh, the other day I asked somebody that. This person, by the way, was a lawyer from Los Angeles. He rattled off what they stood for. Socialism, communism, free education, redistribution of wealth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. See, Obama was a beautiful person. He was part of the intellectual elite. He was articulate. He was polished. He looked very good in a suit. And by the way, I think I might just, you know, blackball Netflix. Because I understand they've given him and his wife $10 to $20 million contracts to do things for Netflix. But I'll probably watch it because I love to watch a professional spinner. No, not the Grateful Dead spinners. A professional spinner like Obama. He can spin things because he's articulate. He's got the words. He's got the intelligence. He can carve out. He can parse out words. He's a lawyer. He's trained to do that. I'm sure he would have gone ahead and had the meeting in North Korea. Even if nothing was accomplished, it'd be a great photo op. And he would explain it in articulate, professional, intellectually appealing leftist ways. But not Trump. Screw it. I don't care what the press says. I don't care if they beat me up. Who cares? They've already beat me up enough. I'm not going over there unless I can get something done. See, that's the business part of Trump. And I just love him for it. The left has been fighting a war for many years. That's why I've taken the gloves off. And so many of my friends have taken the gloves off. What are they fighting the war for? They're fighting the war for power. They want to be in charge. Because if they're in charge, they can divide the pie up the way they think it should be divided up. Donald Trump is our first culture war president, because that's the battle we're in. What kind of a culture do we want to have? Do we really want to have a culture where redistribution of wealth is forced upon anyone who worked hard all their life and accumulated wealth only to have it taken away by the state, by the government? Is that what we want? I heard one time about General Grant. And Lincoln, as I understand it, was lobbied to remove Grant. Grant was a cigar-smoking, whiskey-drinking general, or so I understand. He was like Patton. He was vulgar talking. But if Lincoln had removed Grant, like so many people thought he should, particularly the Democrats, there might still be slaves in most of America today. But he didn't. Because he could fight. He being General Grant. And Patton's the same way. We unleashed Patton on the Germans, and he won. But see, that was war, and it was fought by people who understood war. If you remember the movie, I don't know if this was actually what Patton said or not, but it could have well have been. He said, I want our soldiers. I don't want our soldiers to give up their life for our country. I want those other sons of bitches to give up their life for their country. See, he knew that you win the war by killing the other guy. Would he have been in favor of waterboarding? Probably not. He probably would have just been in favor of killing them. If I go to war, I want to be under a guy like Patton. A guy who will focus on winning and understand it's a war. And we're at war now, and that's why I'm in favor of Trump. Because he knows how to fight the culture war. He's not afraid to tweet or send out his own messages. Why should he be afraid to do that? That's the society we live in. Social media jobs didn't exist 20 years ago. Now every company, it's got at least one person or more in charge of social media. Trump's a fighter. He's not going to North Korea if you're not going to get something done, because he knows it's not a photo op for him. He said it. He said, I want to go to North Korea because it's the right thing to do for America. No, I don't care if I win the Peace Prize or not. Who cares? I don't blame him. If you ever research how these prizes are awarded, he's probably right. It's really not that important. I think Obama got the Peace Prize, but I don't know what peace he settled. Now, Trump's tweets may seem rash and unconsidered, but in reality, he is doing exactly what he should do. First, instead of going after fake media, and they are so fake that they have literally gotten every single significant story of the past 60 years not just wrong, but diametrically opposed to the truth. From the Tet Offensive to Benghazi to what really happened on the streets of Ferguson, Missouri, not far from where I live. Trump isolated CNN. He made it personal. It is personal, by the way. He employs ridicule. He understands human behavior. He labels things so people remember it. Spygate is his latest label. People remember it. He understands that's how people think. Our president is not collegial. And for the most part, he's not very dignified. And proper? No, he's not proper. He's just real. He's not phony. He's real. He's a real person. He has flaws, just like real people. And by the way, just because a person is president doesn't mean he's some part of an intellectual elite group that doesn't have flaws. Sure, we know he has flaws. He's fighting them off every day, every time something comes up. I heard this week that we're going to have a Stormy Daniels day, and then she's been offered a TV show. A TV show about a pornographic actress. This is what our media is doing. To what length will these newspapers and television media go to get eyeballs? The length is infinite because eyeballs produce dollars. They produce advertising. My friend, who worked for the Associated Press for years, say it hasn't changed. People do not want to hear about the 1,000 or more airplanes that landed safely every day. It's just not news. They want to hear about the one that crashed, the one out of 1,000, the one out of 10,000, because that's where the eyeballs are. People don't want to hear about the good things that people are doing. They'd rather hear about the bad things. It's easier to criticize than to compliment. It's easier for the Democrats to criticize Trump's decision to not go to the meeting or cancel the meeting than support him, than to say, good for you, Trump, if you're not going to get an agreement that protects America, then don't go, because you're the power. We're the power. It's not a photo op. So you can say anything you want about this president. I get it. He can be vulgar. He can be crude. He's not polished like an Obama. He can be undignified at times. I don't care. I can't spare this man. That's what Lincoln said about Grant. He fights for America. Grant, Patton, they fought in real wars for America, wars where American lives were at stake. And good for you, Mr. President, good for you, Mr. Donald Trump, because you're fighting in a culture war, maybe a nuclear war, where American lives are at stake too. And I'm just thankful that when you go to any meeting in any part of the world on any subject, whether it's trade or denuclearization or whatever it might be, that your first thought is what's the right thing, what's the best thing for America. I don't think any other president has said that. Most of them, Obama, for example, what's best for the world? Well, that's great if you're in charge of the world, but Obama wasn't. He was in charge of the United States of America. And Trump makes it clear, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything that's not good for America. America first. And for all my critics, that doesn't mean that we're going to select America first to the detriment of other countries. Because wait a minute, these other countries have presidents and prime ministers and executives, and guess what their job is? To protect their country. And that's what Trump was elected to do, and he does it every day. He doesn't care about photo ops or what the media say. That's all I've got to say today. I've got more tomorrow, but get behind this guy because he's doing the right thing. He's protecting us. This is Bob Sherwood signing off. WebTalkWithBob@gmail.com, coming to you from the heartland of America. I'm a conservative, and I'm proud of it. Have a good day. Have a good Memorial Day weekend. And listen to my podcasts and pass it along. I don't think we'll change any Democrats' mind, but maybe we will. Maybe there's some Democrats out there that will listen to logic. At least I hope so. Signing off.